Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Last week, two marketing heavyweights, Mark Ritson and Ram Fishkin, clashed on Twitter on the topic of marketing qualifications. Mark advocated formal marketing training, stating you'll never be poorer off for it. Rand, on the other hand, stated that experience was the thing that led him to where he is. So, where do Rich and I sit on the marketing qualifications debate? And what's out there right now that works? I'm Joe Glover, founder of The Marketing Meetup, a global community that connects and educates over 20,000 marketers in the most lovely way possible. Everything we do it to put the human beings we help first.
I'm Richard Wood. I lead the marketing agency Six & Flow. I've worked in marketing for around 19 years now, and I'm a massive believer in that marketers should be trying to engage with people on a human level, not just treating them as leads and numbers in a spreadsheet. So Joe, which side of the fence do you sit on? Like, has Rand and Ritson lost their shit at each other? And it was like, as a third party, it was fascinating to watch. It was like handbags at dawn. And it was like, I think both of them had like valid points, right? Both of them, like, so like Rand Fishkin was saying, I think like experience is key. And I think, yeah, absolutely agree with that. And then Ritson was saying, I think if you have some formal training, that's only ever going to stand you in better stead than if you didn't have that. And I think both of them lost each other's points in the message because I think they're both right. But I think like it was fascinating to watch. So where do you sit? Whose side of the fence you sat on?
It was brutal. Well, it's funny because I'm a hypocrite actually on this because I haven't had any formal marketing training. I had one module at university, so I did a business degree at university, and there was one module called marketing, which, you know, I really enjoyed, which was one of the reasons why I went into it. So that was the end and beginning of my formal marketing training. That being said, having been in the industry for like 8 years now, I kind of wish I would have had a qualification up front. And the reason why I say that is that it was probably around 4 years, I want to say, before I actually had a working definition of what marketing was, which for me is...
Wasn't that a few episodes back?
yeah, probably. I just listened to you. And that definition was meeting the needs of the customer. And then even some models like the marketing lifecycle, I think were really useful for sort of framing tactical discussions in a way which was like, you know, you do this activity for awareness stuff and stuff like that. And even though none of these models are like perfect and like absolutely wonderful and work in all situations and are directly applied in the real world from theory to practice, I think having the grounding and the foundation of this knowledge would have been really useful. If I'm really honest, I spent the first 4 years of my marketing career as, you know, really quite mediocre, and now I'm like average, you know, but I'm better off.
Still got your looks though, Joe.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure. I'm sat in a hat inside, you know, which kind of gives you an indication of where I am in my life. but like for me, I think I could have shortcutted those 4 years had I spent a little bit of time on a marketing qualification of some sort. But the flip side to that argument is, of course, I only realize how useful those lessons are because I also had that experience. So that's where I sit. How about you?
So I, like you, I don't have any like official marketing qualifications, like formal training. So I did a degree that would kind of sat between computer animation, database building, design, sound engineering. Like I did a bit of everything in my degree. Yeah. And the only bit of marketing, I remember before I started as a proper keynote, I emailed the course director and was like, what are some of the books that I should have on this course? And he gave me this big list. And one of them was like the biggest marketing manual you've ever seen. And it's also like, it's so big that the paper is like that tissue paper, like a Bible basically, that it's so like just trying to keep the weight down. So, wow. And that was the only real exposure throughout university I had. that was marketing based. And then, so I always wanted to be, before I started university, I wanted to be a web designer. Before that, I wanted to be a graphic designer. Before that, I wanted to be an architect. So, and basically I realized that architecture was really hard. You had to do loads of maths and that wasn't really for me. And then graphic designer was like, yeah, unless I get well famous, like, and start doing some like soul bash shit, then I am not going to make any real money out of this. And then I was like, web design seems cool. And it's kind of like graphic design, but there's a bit more to it. So that's where I wanted to end up. And then as I did it, I kind of like saw more bits and sort of understood it. And I went and did a, they call it a thick sandwich, which always makes me laugh, but thick sandwich course is basically you do 2 years of university, then you do a year's industry placement, and then you do a year final. And I learned more on that year across, like I was a web designer for a company that did a lot of stuff for the FT and like the London paper. So I got some really good exposure and I was the only designer in that company. And being the only designer, you then very quickly become the person who gets like doing anything that's kind of visual at all. So I started doing a little bit of like display ad design and like that kind of stuff. And that's where I started to get more and more interested in marketing. And then after my that degree, I got headhunted to go do a master's and a PhD up at Lancaster. And that was part of the, so it was like a split between management school, the design school and the computer school. And like part of that management school exposure was very much like theoretical marketing, like positioning, that kind of stuff. So that was like a module within it. So actually I'm lying. There was a bit of formal training. I totally forgotten about it. It showed how much it touched my life. And then from that, I kind of stepped more into like opportunistic kind of degrees. So like I did not degrees, like avenues. So I co-founded a mobile app startup and then I was the marketing driver behind that. And I was playing around with Twitter to grow signups for this app and that kind of stuff. So I think I then bled into the demand gen side of it and then the paid media side and then just kind of fell further and further into marketing. But the interesting thing, right? So, you know, I do the 6 sessions every week where I interview like people from like the growth space. And I would say 9 out of 10 of those so far have been marketing. I've done 13 episodes so far. And every one of those, bar one, has had no formal marketing training. They fell into it. So like it wasn't what they planned to do. It's just where they've ended up. And I think like marketing is definitely one of those spaces that like people, I think there's almost like a natural talent that drives you towards it. But when Ritson and Ram were losing their shit at each other, you and I were kind of like messaging in the background going, have you seen this? And because I mean, it was getting like a little bit nasty. I think like Rand's breakdown of Ritson's blog, I think took the blog out of context and was saying like was treating it like an academic research paper, which it's a fucking blog post. But anyway, we won't necessarily go into that. But like you and I were talking in the background, and I was saying like I see both of their points, right? Like I think both of them have a valid argument. They're just totally missing each other's. And I think if I had had formal marketing training. So things like we were talking about, like the principles of influence, like Cialdini and that kind of stuff. They are the kind of things that will last time in memoriam on throughout marketing to a certain degree. Like rules are there to be broken. Things will change because the way that we see the world as humans psychologically will change over time. So like certain things will change, but some won't. And I think that is, like those are the kind of things that I wish I'd had formal training in, because it would have just let me forward a few stages where I could start bringing that in at an earlier time. So it's only in the last few years that I've discovered that side of it and become more interested in the like the theoretical and psychology side of it. So I think formal training around psychology and principles, absolutely. Like you will only ever be a better marketer for doing it. I'm not saying the best marketers have done it. I'm saying if you took you, Joe, as like you had an unformally trained version of you and a formally trained, the formally trained person will have a level up of that base knowledge that you can then expand into other areas. So you will always have a leg up. So that's kind of where I sit on it. But I also agree with Rand. There is no substitute for experience. The best marketers are the ones that get their hands dirty. And even at a senior level, those who get entirely detached from the day-to-day doing are the ones who, like, I mean, you very quickly become outdated and out of touch. So even if you look at Dave Gerhart, who has gone from like marketing director, VP marketing, blah, 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 at Drift, now CMO at Privy, and he's less hands-on, he has got his side hustle to keep him in the marketing edge. So he's keeping himself fresh in how to do marketing, but not necessarily his day job. And I think that experience and that playing with stuff to keep your eye in, like Rand is right. Like that is the better marketers will be doing that stuff. But yeah. Ritson is also right, because if you take one of those experienced marketers and add in that educational piece, you will end up with a better end product.
100%. I think that's you picked up on something really interesting there with the amount of folks that sort of ended up in the industry by mistake, you know, and kind of I certainly did, and it said that you did, and your interviewees have as well. And I think that's probably exactly the point here, right? That I reckon there's, with the best will in the world, anyone can call themselves a marketer. You know, there's no sort of like, there's no qualification like being an accountant, which says I can do this job because I've taken the training. Yeah. And I think the difference between being a marketer in the truest sense and just a marketer who calls yourself a marketer is probably in the first instance an appreciation of these foundational principles. So that's probably as exactly as you say, just to reinforce your point more than make a new one, is that you know, having that foundational knowledge probably is the precursor to sort of becoming a marketer in the truest sense of the word. It is then everything that you build up on with experience, like Rand has done over the course of time, that sort of makes you who you are as a marketer. So I'd be interested, actually, you know, we're going to go into where people can find knowledge and sort of train themselves up. But you mentioned sort of psychology and stuff like that. What would you say are the sort of foundational elements of marketing which you sort of go back to every day and sort of say, oh, I'm really glad that I use this on a daily basis, or I'm glad I know this because it sort of shapes my thinking?
I would say the top ones would be psychology and communication, like how you communicate with people, not channels, but like things like, are you using a positive message or a negative message? Like, is it like, are you using fear or what's the other one? Fear or like a reward? Like, yeah. See, I use this stuff all the time. Is your messaging fear based or is it reward based? And then starting to look at the channels and things like that, because the channels will always come secondary. And that's the problem with marketing, right? So like if you look at architecture, accountancy, those things have they're chartered institutes, and you legally cannot call yourself one of those things unless you have gone through the training. Now, those things, the principles, yes, building regs change and tax laws change, but the foundational stuff there doesn't change, probably hasn't changed properly for hundreds of years. I think like the only real change in accountancy has been like the kind of the cloud based, and I mean like that, in marketing, if you look at marketing, every week there is a new cloud based tool or tech or like channel that is being input. So marketing is moving too fast to have anything channel related as part of that, the chartered piece. You have the Chartered Institute of Marketing, like the CIM, like great institute, like it's great that people are doing training. When I get presented like with CVs and things like that say like I am CIM trained, doesn't really mean anything to me. Like it doesn't, with the greatest of respect to the CIM, I'm choosing my words carefully, but I'm absolutely not. With the CIM, right, I feel like because it is an institute like that and the training models, as it's being taught, it will very quickly become outdated unless they are teaching the underlying foundational pieces. So anybody that's teaching channel that isn't currently doing channel. So people who are like teaching people how to use Instagram, for example, now there's fucking thousands of them, but those people, you can very quickly see whether or not they have an understanding of how the channel works because of the engagement they are getting on their channel. Don't look at the followers because they can be bought and blah, blah, blah. That's a whole nother episode. But if you look at the engagement that's coming through there, you can see there's an immediate qualification of, yes, this person has got some kind of credibility in this space. Now, That's a terrible example because I know a lot of that stuff could be fluff, but you kind of get the idea. Like, you can see a marketer's impact. Now, coming back to my point though, I don't think we could ever get to the point where to call yourself a marketer, you have to have achieved certain things, because there are so many facets of marketing. Is the person on my high street who, like, and I'm going to use a real example here now. So there's a boutique shop on the high street around the corner from my house that my wife spends far too much money in called Love Lucy's Boutique. And it's boutique clothing, and like, it's great shop. She's very friendly. And she has done great during the pandemic at pivoting to use Instagram to like show the clothes lines, allow people to shop, things like that. Is she a marketer? Because she's doing a fucking great job at marketing, but absolutely no qualifications in it, that to my knowledge, she might do. But what she's doing there is using her experience and the channels available to her, and she is using that to give her business momentum. She is probably doesn't even equate it necessarily to it being a marketing activity. It is just a survival activity, 100%. I guess. But you look at what we do. So like, I would say I'm a marketer because I run a marketing agency, but like, how does that, but I know plenty of agency owners who come from a business background. They run businesses. They are not marketers. And I've kind of grown into like the MD role as a necessity, and which is also a terrible role. I wouldn't recommend anybody ever being an MD. It sucks. Be a creative director or like a head of marketing. It's way more fun. But you get what I mean. Like, there's not, how do you define what is a marketer? And I don't think CIM or like having a official qualification actually makes it. I could come out of university having done a marketing degree and never have touched a client or like a an account. Never had my hands on the tools. So how does that make me a marketer?
Yeah, no, it's a great point. And you wouldn't be in that moment. And the degree person is no better off than the person running the boutique. So you're right. It almost does come back down to those principles, doesn't it? And it's about, as you say, psychology. It's about sort of that relatability. It's about knowing how to use certain channels, but because they fit into a wider sort of play rather than just sort of appreciating the channels for what they are. And I think it sort of, this moves us quite nicely into, well, if you've got the principles, how do you then understand what's going on today, and how do you keep on learning, and how do you keep on discovering and getting better over the course of time? Because I like you, I don't believe that unless you're doing it day to day, that anybody can really teach another marketer how to use a specific channel. Although that is the bit that everyone loves to hear about as well, which is something I find endlessly interesting. So with the marketing meetup, this is not intended on being a plug, but it's sort of like part of what we're doing, and it's part of the problem that we've identified over the course of this conversation. Then we're building out a platform right now where there's going to be like 10-minute videos that are super tactical by design. So the basis is that folks would be able to walk in, and the assumption is that as a marketer, by virtue of being part of the marketing meetup, that they've already taken the time to understand those strategic elements that sort of lace together the tactical stuff. So when they walk into our platform, they've then got a library of tactical based knowledge that is like no longer than 10 minutes per video. We're focusing on video content to start off with. But as I say, this isn't a plug for the marketing meetup, but it's an example of like how you can top up your tactical knowledge on a regular basis, whereas you sort of do need to establish that sort of strategic element first.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So I wanted to ask you, I mean, like on a day-to-day basis, where do you go to learn sort of like the channel stuff and the tactical stuff? So for me,
it's the marketing meetup, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be honest, you know, this is why I kind of feel unqualified to answer this question in a way, because I do invest so much time in the marketing meetup. You know, every week I'm getting an hour with, you know, one of the industry leaders on a specific topic. And generally speaking, these talks, I try to make them as tactical as possible. But inevitably what happens is if they're an industry leader, they actually spend a lot more time speaking about the generalities, because that's the stuff that they're interested in. That's the stuff that is the foundational stuff to their topic. So they've understood their topic so well, they've actually taken the time to sort of say, actually, the tactical implementation is going to change next week, so I'm not going to speak about that. The thing that I'm going to speak about is, even on the underlying element of this tactic, there are going to be some principles that hold you through throughout. And for me, it's really interesting, because I think quite often when we curate talks for the marketing meetup and stuff like that, we'll quite often curate it with a how-to at the beginning of the title. But inevitably what happens is people get like the theory, they get the underlying thing, but they don't necessarily get the click here, click here, click here, because the best people, the best performing people, they've sucked that in, they know it already. So they don't need to go back and sort of tell people where to click stuff, because they need to know the underlying principles. So I asked you a question at the beginning of that, which is, where do you go to get your knowledge for more day-to-day sort of marketing knowledge?
So for me, I'm a learn by doing kind of guy. So like, right. I won't learn and truly understand something unless I play with it and ultimately break it and then kind of like piece it back together. That's how I learn. Now, marketing is the reason marketing is the best career path on the planet is because marketers are so happy to work in the open now, because it's become this badge of honor, like including the fuck ups. Like, yeah. we're all happy to talk about the failures and the teachings, because then there's a marketing play off the back of it for us as well, right? So that's the great thing about that, is as long as you can wade through the bullshit, like there's a lot of chaff out there. And the thing that people need to remember is, quite often marketers will only share bits of things. Like if there's a real secret sauce, they'll tell you everything around that bit and be like, oh, I turned it into this magical thing, and maybe just leave out that key piece. But marketers as a whole are willing to talk about their experiments because they want to be seen as groundbreaking. They want to be seen as the ones that have made this thing work. And the nice thing about that is you can take that and then you can cobble that back in and experiment off your own back. And like, I would hands down take a marketer into the team who can say to me, like, I've got no formal training, but here's how I learn things. And then I go away, I built this thing, I tried this thing, I got shit results off of it, but this is what I learn off the back of it. Because that willingness to learn and understand, that's the key piece in marketing now, not the kind of the baseline knowledge. Because you can add that other stuff in, which kind of said like it's the opposite of what I said at the beginning. I think I would take the marketer who's willing to experiment and has played with stuff rather over the book learner. But I think the experimenter would do better to do the book learning piece as in addition. Like, it will only ever improve where their standing is. So I would hire the experimenter or like the doer over the theory.
Yeah.
But I would be aware that And I would encourage the doer to learn the theory because it will only ever make them better.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a very, very good point. And I think that speaks to something which I've observed within the industry, which is that there's a ton of strategic marketing consultants and stuff like that. So I count myself as part of this because I come in and sort of do that kind of work where I can come in and make a lot of sense on paper. But then when it comes to actually sort of like leaving people to it and saying, well, you know, I've given you the plan here, so go off and do it, you know, and stuff like that. I'd say 8 times out of 10, you know, things go back to what they were like before because they either haven't sort of taken the time to digest that theory or because as a consultant, I go in and I've got the theory, but I haven't necessarily put it into practice. No. There's an awful lot of people who speak about marketing, but there's less people who actually spend time doing it. You know, so I agree. I would say that the only other thing off the back of it is that I do have absolute agreement with you that the doer is like a great attitude to have. And likewise, that is how I sort of learned my sort of marketing craft was working in small companies where I didn't have any choice but to sort of get involved in hacking stuff together and you know, figuring out Zapier and all the different social media channels and stuff like that.
On your point there, so let's take this as an example. Consultant goes in, gives strategy because they have the theory and says, yeah, Here's what you're going to deliver. Go away and deliver it yourselves and whatever. I'll come back and check in 6 months, whatever.
Yeah.
The problem with that is quite often the people who are being given that strategy don't speak marketing, as in absolutely Haven't had the training, haven't had the experience, don't truly understand it. And that paint by numbers strategy won't necessarily give them any of the nuances or if there is something that needs to be adapted. So the best marketers adapt, iterate and kind of build on what they've done. But if you've given someone like a roadmap and they just stick to that roadmap, quite often it'll fail because things change. Mm-hmm. So I think quite often it's not just the theory is not just needed by the person who is telling them what to do. You need to have that baseline understanding as well.
100%. And that's the interesting thing. So this morning we had a webinar with Martin George, who's the sort of head
not
of
George Martin.
No. In my sleep deprivation, I was properly worried that I was going to do that though. And I may well have done. I'm yet to listen back to it.
So who's your favorite character in the fourth book?
But it was interesting because he was saying, so me being the person I am, and even by virtue of stuff like this podcast, we spend an awful lot of time speaking about marketing because we find it interesting. But the thing that he was saying this morning is he works in Waitrose. He's sort of like the head marketing person in Waitrose. And he was saying that the language any business speaks is financial. So as marketers, it's actually our responsibility not to teach people about marketing necessarily. It's about us gravitating towards their language, which is a financial, it's a business one, it's the language of the CFO. I just thought that was, whether you agree with that or not, I think it's a really interesting point that as marketers, we do have that potential on a strategic, tactical basis to sort of try and make everyone understand what we're doing. But actually, the thing that we're trying to do is deliver a business result, and therefore we need to be able to speak in that way.
I stand by this, and I'm willing to argue this to the death. Marketers' number one KPI should be revenue. You should be revenue based, and speaking about revenue, it helps you align with the sales team. It helps you justify yourself to the CFO, the CEO. That is the number that you should be talking in, and everything you do will ultimately break down to revenue at some point. So if you do brand, yes, it's probably not going to fire in leads tomorrow and it's a longer game or whatever. But ultimately, the conversation you should go in there and have is, we're going to do this because it is going to make us a better known entity, which is going to make this campaign over here on the demand side work way better, which means in 6 months' time, we're going to be bringing in 30% more leads and therefore blah, 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 blah. Yeah. That's the language marketers need to speak. And I think that, again, is where a mix of experience and formal education can come into play. Now, it's not necessarily marketing education that's needed there. Business education is needed there. So I actually think marketers, coming back to formal education and marketing, maybe it's not formal education in marketing that's needed. It's if you want to go into marketing, go learn like the business skills. So like even not don't go away and do an MBA, but like the business skills. So understanding what marketing's impact is across the rest of the organization, go learn some communication skills and go learn some psychology. If you build in, like, that's like a supermarketer that you've just like kind of brought in there. And I'd also throw in the ability to review and understand technology. So like not a specific technology, but building a framework to assess and understand the technologies that are coming into play. That's the kind of thing that you want from like a modern marketer. You can't see me doing air quotes there, but like a modern marketer, I think should have those elements about them.
Yeah. Out of curiosity, I mean, we might end up down the rabbit hole a bit here, but I find that really interesting. Last point about assessing and comparing and sort of being able to approve and deny technology. And you mentioned the word framework. So do you have an internal framework that you use to assess tech, or is it a formal thing, or is it more of a gut feel? How do you do that?
I would say there's no formal process. Like I don't have a spreadsheet with kind of like a pros and cons. It sounds like a great thing. We should probably build that. But it comes back again to the way that I do things and the way that, and I lead the agency and how a lot of that is fed through, is I will play with the tech to understand what it can do, to then understand how I could fit it in with the other pieces of tech. So we get approached daily to partner with a new SaaS product or whatever to like integrate into our existing tech stack. Yeah. And what we'll do is, like, assuming it's something that interests us, we'll take that on, we'll play with it ourselves, see how it fits into our sales process, our marketing process, our service process, whatever, see how it works, see how we can get it to mold into like HubSpot, Drift, Vidyard, whatever the rest of the tech stack looks like. And then we'll start to feed that into client work. So we've got, at the moment, we have an R&D board that is owned by our strategy director, Adam. And we basically, so either Adam and I or I will have an idea that we think is either a new service line or a new tech that we want to explore. We'll kind of introduce that into the board. Adam will then go away, either play with it or whatever, or I will do that. And then Adam will build a business case around it. And then we'll start to build that out into the rest of the organization. So there is a process for assessment there, but we don't have a kind of a matrix of what is a successful piece or not. But again, like I like playing with technology. I like experimenting. There is a healthy element of like playfulness. One of our core values is playfulness. And that is around experimentation and being willing to test, learn and fail. So that's how we approach it, which may or may not be the best way to approach it, but it works for us.
No, you know, I think it speaks to something that Martin said earlier as well, which was I asked him his framework for marketing. So like, you know, the top guy in Waitrose for marketing and stuff like that. I asked him for his framework and I was expecting an answer like the four P's or the life cycle or whatever. And he just said curiosity. You know, it speaks exactly to what you've just said. You know, curiosity as a skill, you know, is a cliche, but it's also true. You know, it's that figuring stuff out, being willing to accept new things. And it's probably actually, if I reflect on my own business and behavior and stuff like that, it's probably from a technology point of view, it's not something that I spend a lot of time being curious about. So I'm quite fired up actually by this chat to actually sort of spend a little bit of time just having a look at a few little bits and pieces, because I suspect a lot of my day-to-day tasks, which take up most of my time, probably could be automated at this stage because you've got into enough of a flow of it. And even though I don't like automation for automation's sake, I think if you can still retain that sort of humanity and it's just about efficiency while not losing anything else, then it makes sense. So yeah, thanks for lighting that fire for me, I guess, really. So
but think about it from like the story of why you started the meetup, because you wanted to like, and I think you started it because like you were using meetup for your find some football mates or whatever that story is.
Yeah.
And then you were like, well, actually I'd quite like to like hang out with some marketers. I'm like super shy and like I don't feel like there's a place for me, so I'm going to do this as well. But you started that because you were curious as to whether or not you could use Meetup to do that. Yeah. So you've done yourself a little bit of a disservice there, because you were playing around with the technology to see what was possible, but then you're also playing around with every step of that, of your journey. You've been curious as to how far you can push it. Can I take it into New York? Can we create this online learning platform? Can I take it digital, because the world is on fire and we're in pandemic? Like how can I grow that? And I think it's that curiosity piece that has enabled you to do that. And it's like very similar to us. Like it's I at every stage I'm like, oh, we're growing, and we're growing ahead of where we are. Maybe we should just push that target. How far can we go? Like, what can we do next? Like, what can we experiment with? And it's that curiosity piece that I think drives, and I'm super competitive, but like, it's that curiosity piece that drives the interest for me. Got to be careful with curiosity though, to kill the cat.
Yeah. wise words. I think we've reached our sort of standard half an hour sort of slot, but I think that was a really interesting chat, actually. I really enjoyed that. I think, you know, both Rand and Mark were right. And you know, I think there are some fundamentals in marketing that stand true, but I think when you're educating yourself within these formal organizations, you don't need to spend your time on specific channels or whatever, because they change so fast. I think we've suggested a few places where people can go, including the marketing meetup. That is a plug. And yeah, you know, I think there's also a wider discussion there about some good general attitudes. So good sesh, I'd say, mate.
Well, you've had a plug, so I'm also going to plug. But if anybody feels like they meet that marketer mix that we talked about, we're hiring like crazy. So like, reach out to us at sixandflow.com/careers.
Nice. I like it.
I even put a URL on mine.
Well, that's because my URL doesn't exist just yet, but it will do. In fact, it probably does. It's probably the marketing meetup /plus. I don't know, but you could try it. It might be a 404 page. Who knows?
Anyway, leave us a 5-star review and I'll stop yeah. Joe talking there. It's been great chatting to you again, Joe, and thanks for not falling asleep during the session.
Thanks, mate. I mean, if you don't edit out the introduction that I did at the beginning, then the first one was the flattest thing you've ever heard in your life. So hopefully we've summoned some energy.
Actually, I'm going to leave in the bit before where you started telling me that you were going to become the arsehole of this and take my throne from me because you're grumpy and tired now.
We're going to have there's going to be enough incriminating things to bring down both of our careers off the basis of these outtakes.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Take care, mate.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.